This is A Matter of the Mind with your host, Mark Perry.
Good morning, everybody out in Radio Land. As you can tell, this is not Mark Perry. I am Harriet King, and he has asked me once again to guest host his show, which always honors me so greatly. We are simulcasting from KVSF 101.5 and Talk Radio 1260, and you can go to your computer and live stream santafe.com and go to Talk 1260 Radio. Today, one of my favorite themes is victimhood. And the title of this show is Leading a Victimless Life. Now, first of all, we have to know the codes for victimhood so we can go, oh, that's what I've been doing. Because if we don't know the codes, because we have refined this victim-victimizer matrix really, really well, and our ego minds can tell us all kinds of stories to make our victimhood A-OK, and that we are right. But that's only the ego mind protecting you in your victimhood. So I want to introduce to you a very beloved goddess friend and colleague, and I have invited her to come be my guest today because I honor her and respect her commitment to her life to live out of being victim, no matter what. And she has some stories to tell. Her name is Benny Jean Mulier. And welcome, Benny. I'm so happy you're here to join me in this victimhood gig.
I am so happy to be here. I am blessed that you invited me and to allow me to share some of this story.
Yes, because I know your stories, and they're fabulous. So, also, please write this number down. We invite you, as we go along with this show, to please call in, ask questions, offer your insights, whatever you wish to do. And the number is 474-4550. Let me say that again. It's not seven. I misspoke. Scratch that out. It's 424-4550. So please write that down in case you get inspired to check in with us here and offer anything that you choose. The show is divided into two parts. The first part is we are going to name the victim codes, and then we're going to guide you into the technologies, and I call healing systems technologies because everything is energy, and that keeps me on the energetic level of the healing process. And then we're going to talk about technologies. So the codes are, now, this is called the blame game, and victims do this very, very well. You did this to me. You need to do this. You need to do this different. You need, you should. And that is one of the greatest loops that anybody playing victim has to address and cut the loop, because we don't get to blame anybody, do we, Benny?
No, we don't. Oh, yes, we do. I can always blame ourselves.
Well, yeah, but then we can't beat ourselves up for that. We just
That's true. Okay,
look what I'm doing again. Yeah, when we bring everything to consciousness and awareness, that's 50% of the healing gig. Next is victims never ask for what they want. And we can tell all kinds of stories about that. But I'm not going to play the ego mind game right now because I find it very boring. But if we don't ask for what we want, then we get to say, you should have known. You should have known. Oh, victimhood right there. Next is claiming no responsibility for self, no responsibility for what self creates. Next is no responsibility for creating life events that probably have conflict and separation resting right in them. never trusting self. There is no self-confidence because the victim can't do that because then they couldn't play victim. Living in fear. Keep in mind, we have two choices, fear or love. And we can tell all kinds of stories about fear. We can tell all kinds of stories about love. But those are our only two choices. Fear of speaking personal truth. We can tell all kinds of stories about that, too. And all of this victimhood is based in fear. And it creates all kinds of physical and emotional pains that we know. Now, Benny, I would love for you to tell the story, because I love this story so much, about when you and I first met. It's such a great story.
Let me see. Where do I begin? Well, let me see. The years that led up to this, I won't tell you those stories.
Please.
Because we'd be here for the rest of our lives. However, when I was living as a nomad and a writer, and I was in Oklahoma and Texas at the same time, I knew that I had to make a change. I knew that. And I had always been a horsewoman, ridden horses, traveled all over the country, riding horses in the mountains and living my little nomad life. But at some point, I turned around and went, okay, this is for your own life, for your own safety, for your own health. You must make a change. And through a series of events, I met Harriet through a phone call. She said, when can you be here? I said, I'm coming. I'm on my way. 3 days later, I moved. I left. And just like a lot of people that I met in Santa Fe, we end up where we are supposed to be. And of all the places I've lived, I had never been to New Mexico. Been through here in a rush, going from one rodeo to another. But here I ended up in outside Santa Fe in the most incredible healing place. I walked in the door and my life changed. And I always thought I was very successful. I always thought I had a lot of the answers. People would come to me and I'd go, oh, well, let me tell you what to do. But there's three words that I didn't know how to say. I don't know. And when I came here, I dropped all the illusion, everything that I thought that I knew, and I finally said, I don't know. I know nothing. And that became my mantra, because what I really wanted to do is I wanted to know. And I walked in the door and I dropped every preconception, everything I ever thought about myself, every tool, every rule, and I walked in the door just like totally blank.
Yes.
And here I am.
And here you are. And she said to me, I'm here to change my life. I said, well, let's get it on. because every morning we do what is called coffee swirl. And this is where we gather together. We draw tarot cards. We set the energy for the day. We support each other in our evolution. And so Benny Jean, through her courage and commitment to doing things differently, really learned the skills on how to align with her family, which was in great separation and conflict. And after the break, we will take up with that. Welcome back. We are now simulcasting on 1260 AM and on 101.5. You can also go to your computer and pull up santafe.com and click on 1260 Talk Radio, and you can live stream there. We are with Benny Jean, my beloved goddess friend, and we're talking about how she made a very powerful choice to really do her life differently. She was aware of what was not working, and she knew there was a way to make it work. So speak about your family, because I love this story, because with your courage and commitment to doing things differently, this made this happen, and I know this. Yeah.
Well, I guess I can say that was just one piece of the pie, but it was a very big piece of my pie, mm-hmm. which I thought I'd been working on for many years. And I came here, and part of my life was really broken. Mm-hmm. And part of that was my family DNA. And that goes back so far. But my daughter, my beloved daughter, and I have been at odds for so long. And the pain and the loss and the cutting away of that was just so devastating to me. At the time I came here, I was in such pain of being cut off from my daughter. And I have two grandchildren that, you know, I still was in communication with them. And I loved my son-in-law. He's like a son to me. But my daughter and I, we just could never seem to get our relationship balanced and together. And that caused us both a lot of pain. And we played the dance, the victim, victimizer. We threw that ball back and forth so many times that it just, you know, it just got where we were both just worn out. Mm-hmm. And when I came here, I started getting a toolbox. That's the only way I can explain it.
Yes.
Every morning, I would run down my stairs from my bedroom and go, okay, it's time, girls. Everybody get together. Let's go. I am ready to go do spread. We would do our cards. And through those, I really started having to just look within myself. It's what I would see. I wanted to know who I was without the horses, without the drama, without the cowgirl, without everything that I thought I was. I was all those things. I was this. I was that. But actually, it was like peeling an onion and getting down to the core of, I was really in pain. And I was feeling lost, and I was feeling mad and angry, and I was feeling very guilty about why I wasn't a better this or why I wasn't more successful, because I had been rich, I've been poor, I've been everything. And all of a sudden, I didn't know who I was. And here I am now, and I look back at the family dynamic, and I had this one thing in my toolbox that I learned from Harriet King, and I bless her to this day. That I even my grandchildren have learned this. When I ask them, I'll say, what are the three words you can live your life by? And this changed my life. And
I'm
they
so
will
happy
tell
to
you,
hear that.
Well, it
See?
Changed my life. And
Yay.
It changed my daughter's relationship with her own daughter, my grandson, who's 12, and he's kind of a renegade. He is even learning to use it. And I'm going to share those three words with you.
Yes.
Yes, no, and stop.
Yes.
And every day I would get really ugly, you know, notes from my daughter, and I would get, and oh, you know, we were just, you know, at each other's throats and each other's hearts. That's where we the daggers were
said.
Going.
I love that.
And so I would come downstairs and I would, you know, share this in spread when we were doing tarot, because that is a safe place to say it all. You lay it all on the table and then everything stays there. And Harriet would say, do not engage. And I'd go, yeah, but I have, she just said this. And do not engage. Do not engage. And sometimes I would, and I would have to come down and say I did, and I would have to be honest. And this is the first time that I knew really what it was like to really have someone to share and look into that deep part of my soul that wasn't perfect. Because I've always had to be perfect. I mean, honestly, I was, you know, from Atlanta, Georgia. My mother raised me to be another Scarlett O'Hara. She was Melanie in Gone with the Wind. And my dad was, you know, Clark Gable. So I thought that's who we were. We were all playing that role. I don't have to be that anymore. So I started using those words to, guess who? Myself. I knew when yes. to say yes. I knew when to say no. And I knew when to say stop. Because anytime I have a thought, and I don't feel really good about that, and deep down in my core, I start feeling a little cloudy, a little, Not so good.
Is that called the yucky code?
Yeah. And I've learned that word too. But these are all tools. And whenever I would start to feel that, I knew it was time to say either yes to me, no to that thought, stop that progression, start all over again, come back into center, and just not judge. That has been the hardest thing for me, and I'm not saying that it was easy.
No, it wasn't, but you did it.
And, you know, I found it to be like, I used to be an event planner, and I used to be an event planner for these spiritual retreats. And one, I used to get to sit in on them, and it was so wonderful to get to share all this information. And one of the retreats was how to attract your soulmate. And the first thing they would have you do is come in and list all these incredible things that you're looking for in somebody else. And I think I finally got the picture that when you make that list about somebody else, you're totally losing out on the entire picture. The list should be about what do you have?
What do you bring to the relationship?
That's right. Because until you know that, then you're not going to get anything but what you've always gotten before. And, you know, for me, I don't know about you, but it certainly doesn't work.
You're right. And let's go back to that judgment word. Because judging and condemning someone else is really a victim status. And I know unconditional love, that pure loving presence, is only one thing, acceptance. Whoever stands before us, we get to accept them exactly as they are. They don't should, would, could, or
That's
need
right.
to do anything, because that doesn't work anyway. Right. But when we're in the shadow trance of that old judgment loop, we can, our ego minds will tell us how we're serving, how great we are, and we're telling that person what they need to be and do and carry on. That does not work.
Well,
never has.
When I quit treating her like she was a victimizer to me, and then when I would turn around and victimize her and make her a victim, when I just stopped.
And you said something really major there. Anybody who plays victim can flip into victimizer, snap the fingers, and they're in victimizer.
You almost have to assuage your
guilt. Oh, I love the word. I love the word.
And then when I stopped doing that, and it wasn't easy, and I still, you know, I can still feel sometimes things creeping in. And we had had an event that happened that I thought was so unforgivable, something she had done to me that was to get back to me for all the many years of all the things that we had done, not done, and whatever. And it had to do with a horse. And the horse was ambiguous. The horse was out in the world somewhere, and I couldn't find her, and I was devastated, and I had all these negative feelings and all this horror.
I know that.
And it was. And, you know, I didn't know what to do because I felt so obligated, so responsible, so guilty. It was just shredding my heart. I let that go, too.
Yes.
And
you also found the horse.
And then not long after that, the horse was found. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where the divine comes in. The divine comes in and just goes, it was almost like, see, I told you, if you just stop.
Just
sit
stop.
Back and then say no to yourself for that kind of feeling. And then when you know that you feel good, say yes to that.
Yes, say
because
yes.
I refuse, and it's not always easy, I refuse to let anyone take 1 minute of my joy.
And that is a great thing. You do not let anyone take your joy. That's what I call setting sacred space with that golden circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not allow anything into your own sacred space that is going to deplete you or take your joy.
And make you a victim.
And make you a victim, yes.
Because I don't believe that you... It's almost impossible for me to see being a victim without almost that knowing that someone else is a victimizer.
And see, if I'm playing victim, and this is the secret here, I have to create a victimizer.
That's right.
Either call them in or I have to create you to be my victimizer or I can't play victim. Hey, and also the partner to unconditional love, this total acceptance, the partner to that is conditional engagement. And this is a great partnership, and I had a very dear friend who brought this knowing to me, this wisdom of conditional engagement, and I will always bless her for that, always. So we are getting ready to break, and we will chat some more about this conditional engagement, because this is where we set space where we do not allow anyone to come in that does not enliven our spirit.
It's hard to hear your true voice with all that noise of self-doubt, criticism, anger, and regret yelling in your mind. Like swimming in quicksand, the harder you fight to free yourself, the deeper you feel stuck.
Hi, I'm Mark Perry, certified clinical hypnotherapist and life fulfillment coach. What if I told you that freeing yourself of limiting patterns such as addiction, depression, and self-doubt is as easy as changing your mind? That clearing the noisy clutter of the past is simply a matter of reclaiming control of your mind. Discover the power of hypnotherapy to make lasting changes in your life now. As you learn to really listen to your true voice, free of the noise, you naturally forge a new path of insight and action into the life you are truly here to live. To create the life you are here to live, call me today at 920-6149 or log on to amatteroftheMind.com. And thank you for listening to my show, A Matter of the Mind, each Saturday at 10 a.m. right here on KTRC.
Welcome back again to our topic of leading a victimless life. And I just really love sharing all about this, because we have done victimhood in so many refined, subtle ways that to bring it to consciousness takes a little knowledge and a little clarity. And I love clarity above all things. So let's repeat that the partnership to unconditional love, which is acceptance. I don't get to tell anybody what to do, what they should do, what they need to heal, blah, 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 because it never works anyway. Now, does it? No. No. So that is the shadow trance that doesn't work, but we have to go, oh, you know, this ain't working. And the partnership to that is conditional engagement. We have the right, without judging or condemning anybody, to say, I do not resonate with you. I can no longer play with you. And there's a friend of mine years ago who said to a client that we were both working with, and it wasn't working, he said to this client, "Dear sister, from this point forth, I'm going to love you from way over here." Don't you love that? It's called disengagement. The love doesn't go. But you're going to get to love them from way over there, because there's no place to meet. And then you may have certain family members or friends that you have great places that you meet, but you have conflict in others. As Benny Jean has said, you don't go to those other places. You say, stop. Stop. No. Let's meet where we truly enliven each other and celebrate each other. And I want Benny Jean to share with us about her family matrix and dynamic today, because I love this.
Well, I think that's really interesting what you were talking about, how and things did not change overnight. I would love to preface this by saying that this was a journey.
And it's a great journey for you.
And it's not over yet. It's a continuous day-by-day occurrence when you have to bring all... every day I have to use those tools. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter and I, we are so much not alike. My granddaughter sits in the middle. She's exactly like me. And then my daughter, we look at each other going, "Where did y'all come from?" Because we really, you know, we don't even understand that dynamic. However, from this has been, I would say, 2 years exactly that mm-hmm. I've been here.
Yes.
And in the 2 years that I've been working on just this particular thing in my life, how the only way that I know how to share that is the evolution of being able to say, stop, I love you, but I didn't ask for your opinion.
That's a great script. And I love that script.
And I didn't ask how you felt about that. I love you anyway. Mm-hmm. And I just continue to be able to respond to her when she comes at me. Mm-hmm. I just put her and I go, love you. Love you, but didn't ask for your opinion. But I love you. Mm-hmm. And we don't do the forgiveness game either.
No.
Because you can't possibly go back. The more you say I'm sorry, the deeper the hole is dig yourself into.
Absolutely.
And there's just, we don't see any purpose in it. And now, even though my daughter and I have completely different spiritual beliefs, we even have different fashion beliefs. We're so on different pages, and yet we have come together into this beloved, blessed relationship. And
which I love to see. And watch you do that. I really celebrate
that. She said she would never come here. You know, this is all the things in the past. And all of a sudden, when I got married, I flew my family here. And she actually walked up, hugged me, and said, I love you and I honor you. And this was something that just right to my heart of hearts, I thought that I would never be able to experience. Mm-hmm. And now we experience this every day.
I just see, and I know, and I've told you this before, you made this happen because of your commitment to build your toolkit, to practice these tools.
Well, you know, and it is a choice. It's like,
it's a choice every day.
And I know that every time that I feel bad towards somebody, and yes, there are still times that I drop into the victim or victimizer.
Except then you know it. Then you get to do a redo, because redos are fabulous.
And I don't. I do hold myself accountable for my own actions, my own feelings. And it's pretty amazing when I can just be a fly on the wall and look at myself.
Witness yourself, yes.
Do not think that means that I'm not judging, that I'm not doing all the things that I used to. But the big thing that I see is that now I know.
You know it.
I know, and I can change it at any minute.
I call that flipping.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking a thought that is toxic, mm-hmm. and someone recently said, I'm standing in the sludge. Don't you love that word, sludge?
Yeah. No, I don't love that word.
No, but I mean, but it's what we feel when we're operating at our lower victim selves, sludge. And so one of the great tools that my guidance gave to me probably 37 years ago, and many of us use it now, instead of apology, because you threw that in, and I know people are going, wait a minute, did I just hear that? We don't apologize.
Right.
No, because apology just digs the hole deeper.
That's right.
Einstein says, and I love him, Einstein says you cannot solve the problem with the same energy that created
it. That's right.
Apologies keep us in the same energy that created it.
Or the minute you say, I'm sorry, it does the role play. I'm a victim, you're a victimizer, and you've done something wrong.
Yes, and look what you did to me. Aren't you sorry?
Yeah, how do I feel?
Wrong. No, I'm not sorry. Thank you very much. But it is really, and the magic that happens with the redo is I get to accept and be responsible for my actions.
Right.
I can say to you, Benny Jean, I misbehaved with you. Would you allow me to do a redo? And of course you're going to say yes, I hope. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I don't, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I have presented it to you. And when we do a redo together, we come out of the energy that created the problem and we up-level and up-love to a new frequency together. And I love that. And that moves all of us out of victimhood.
Right. And sometimes the people that you're, even if they don't have the same beliefs, they don't have that same belief that you do, when that energy is there, it comes up and up. And they just follow that energy. Mm-hmm. It's like follow the energy.
Yes.
It just comes up.
Yeah, it's just.
And now my daughter calls me and she'll say, Mom, I need your advice. And I'm going, in what universe is this happening? And it's happening in a universe that I created.
Yes, you did.
And
yes,
it was. And I'm not saying it was easy, but oh my gosh, I'm so divinely happy, and so divinely blessed that I have a relationship with my daughter, mm-hmm. and now she treats me. When she treats me with respect, her kids see that, and they will treat her with respect.
Yes, absolutely.
What a difference does
that make?
Well,
this is creating a new family lineage.
That's right.
That everybody gets to step into. I remember on that weekend that you got married, and I was honored to marry you and Gary. Hi, Gary. He's sitting here with us. Yes. Yeah. Your daughter came into my room, and she sat with me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Thank you for being here with my mother." And I'm going, "My pleasure."
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
And I guess that was the other thing about acceptance. You know, she's always been so quick to judge, you know, because I think, you know, sometimes kids want their parents to be kind of like everybody else. And I was always
the different
one.
Yes.
And so now, you know, she walks in and she doesn't judge that. She just says, you know, "Mom, I love you." There's nothing,
no,
there's
total
not
acceptance.
Because, except, whatever,
no, but
and
acceptance.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and this acceptance gig mm-hmm. is huge, mm-hmm. huge. And when any of us first start to practice this, the ego mind's going to go, "Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but." And we just say, "Stop. That's not the game we're playing mm-hmm. now. This is what we're playing." Because that's really what pure loving presence is,
yeah.
Totally and completely. And one of the main things here, and for me, this is the key to it all, is we have to claim our true power.
Yeah.
We must do that. And that power place is at our root chakra, mm-hmm. not at the third. That is the divine sphere of the divine that feeds up and down from the third chakra. But power is at our first chakra, because that's how we connect as humans mm-hmm. to this planet. And many people have shattered power structures, shattered. So we have to do the process of putting it all back together again. And one of the processes is really, really practicing. And you know that because you practice. We're all practicing every day.
I know. Well, it's a journey. And, you know, I see all the books and I read everything. It says life is a journey. And I've been on that my entire life. But I feel like that I saw an advertisement with Paul Bunyan, and as he was on the journey carrying that huge sack of potatoes with him. And that, sometimes I feel like that's what I've done too. It's like, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm awesome, but gee, I think I'll just carry this box of rocks with me anyway.
and we can stop carrying the box mm-hmm. of rocks. Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful. When we return from our next break, we are going to talk about the importance of our language and to give some tools with our languaging. So thank you for joining us. And please call in at 424-4550. Love to hear you. Bye for now. Welcome back again, and I want to share with you about Bennie Jean and how she plays out her life, and she will have some comments here before we get to the languaging and scripting part. Bennie Jean has been diagnosed as ADHD, PTSD. What else?
Oh my goodness! What do you have?
OCD.
You have all day. No, I just refuse to take all the rest of those.
No, no. She does not play victim to any of that. None of it. She uses the gifts that she knows are there for her. I have seen her personal experience stay up all night doing a project. That's that manic hyperfocus that she uses to do projects and bring them to completion. She's amazing to watch. I just stay out of her way, and I bet Gary does too. Yeah, he's shaking his head, yes. So she does not allow herself. She chooses every day. Every day. Speak into that briefly before we get on to the scripting. I love this.
Absolutely.
I love this.
I have found that I am a very manic, have always been a very manic person. And, you know, 2-4 hours sleep, you know, I can be from Atlanta to California pulling a 4-horse trailer, go to 3 barrel races in a weekend, and still be running, you know, full wide open. But I have learned to channel, I hope, better that energy and those thought processes. You know, I run off at my brain a lot of times, and then I see it happening. This is where my other tool, be careful and watch who you bring into your life.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you know that you have an incredible, huge, strong support group around you. Because I was just saying while we were on break, and I kind of thought it was funny, but I will share this with you. I said, you know, Harriet, you are the, what did I call that?
The shock
collar of words, you know, because I.
Good intro.
That's the one thing I know I have all this head knowledge. I probably have so much incredible, useless knowledge running around in my head. Sometimes I wonder why it doesn't just burst. But I do have a lot of good knowledge, too, and
that
turns into wisdom.
Yes, it does.
And my wisdom is that I know that words are powerful, and yet I find them spilling out of my mouth, just like enough refuge. And if you don't have people that are your true family, your true spiritual family, that will say, oh, excuse me, don't use that word, hate, fear, you know, all those mongering words that just pop up on our head, because believe me, I have a tendency to do that. It's like I'm very dramatic.
No.
Can you tell? And then, so I will be ranting on a subject, and it may be a really good subject, and all of a sudden, Harriet will go, stop. And I have to regurgitate and then swallow that word again. And I understand, because every word has vibration.
Well, this is the power of tribe and community. Mm-hmm. And I know this. I rely, you both are my beloveds, and I rely on you to tell me to stop if I'm doing anything that you know is not who I'm choosing to be.
Absolutely. And even, like, you know, when you sit with your true power tribe and you're speaking, and you know that you have a freedom to speak without judgment. Sometimes you hear your own words and you go, where did that come from? Well, I wish I'd have swallowed those and stomped on them before I put them out. But you know that it gives you a place of honesty and a place of authentication where you can say, I actually just said that. Is that how I really feel? Let me do a redo on that with you too, because this is a safe place to be.
Yes.
And that is the lesson in being a victim, is to always have a safe place to be so that you can say, am I really doing this, behaving this way, saying this, putting this energy out? Because if you don't have those, and you don't have people to come to you and put their arms around you and go, I love you anyway, even though, oh man, the way you just behaved, or what you just said, because they may not say that, but that's how you know that you have people surrounding you. And there's been so many years of my life that I've lived in a very nomadic or, you know, situation where I was living in the wilderness, or, you know, working on cattle ranches, and oh, you think, oh, it's so wonderful to be spiritual and be close to God and up in the mountains, and, you know, so much for that, but, you know, there's a lot to be said for it. But I'll tell you what, nothing ever opened my eyes as much as having someone look in my heart face to face and go, no, tell me no, you're going to tell me no, or to say, stop. And I'm going, I don't really like that. I'm from Atlanta. You can't tell me. My mother raised me to be Scarlett O'Hara. Don't tell me no. But I have learned that I can tell myself no.
Yes. And now, scripting, because you have alluded to several of these scripts in your redoing with your daughter years ago. And I can always go, my daughter is this old, and I know she was 10 when I started on my great journey of true awareness. And so for 37 years ago, my guidance, God voice, whatever you want to call it, I have a great team who gives me all kinds of great stuff. And one of the greatest things was scripting. Two scripts. And I still use them, and I pass them on to others. Instead of saying, you are misbehaving, you're doing this, you're doing that, you get to say, I am not comfortable here. Mm-hmm. I am not comfortable. No finger pointing, no judging. Claiming what you're feeling, I am not comfortable. And through the years, I have added on this part. I am not comfortable here. Can you and I shift this conversation together? Because it's all a co-creation. I know this. This is the divine we.
And, you know, I didn't even realize that I had had such an impact with those tools when my granddaughter and I were at a rodeo, and my daughter was there. She always wants to, of course, you know, put in her words. And Cody and I were having a very serious conversation over a horse and whatever. And this is very serious. And my daughter, of course, ran over and started talking. And my own granddaughter raised her hand and said, stop, mother, please. We are having a conversation. I almost just fell off the tailgate of the
Weren't
truck.
Weren't you excited?
And my daughter had this look on her face, and she said, oh, and turned around and walked off. And it was so respectful. Yes. I mean, it was one of the most incredible moments of my entire life, except for if I won.
I love that.
Yeah,
love
unless
it.
I'm a publisher's clearinghouse.
But. And another one, and another script mm-hmm. that you have used mm-hmm. is, and this is where we really hold sacred space. Nobody gets to share with me anything about me unless they seek permission.
That's right.
And if somebody starts coming at me, telling me everything that I did wrong, yada, what I need to do and what I need to be, I say, I don't believe I've given you permission to share anything about me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Unless you ask.
Yes. And this was something that I also got from my guidance years ago. Ask permission.
I've also realized that there is nothing or no one that comes into your life that you did not create. And I have seen that over.
Would you say that one more time,
well,
please? Let's not slide by that. This is major. Say that one more time.
There is no one or nothing that comes into your life that you did not create.
And we call in the people many times to show us how we're treating self,
absolutely.
Show us how we're holding self.
Actually mirrors what we're doing or who we are and the things that we really need to look at in our own selves.
Yes.
It's every day. And this isn't a one-time affair that you just go, oh, got it.
No. Oh, no. This is an ongoing spiral.
Yes, it is.
It's an ongoing. And I know that every day I am practicing, and I've been practicing for low many years, but I would never tell self with arrogance, I'm done, because if I ever said that, I couldn't imagine what my soul would create for me.
Well, you know, I kind of equate it to training a horse. You know, you could ride a horse, you could take it out of the stall and take it out to the arena and saddle it and get on it, and you're training. That's not true. Any time from the time you wake up in the morning when you're a serious horse trainer till you go to bed at night, you're training that horse.
Yes.
Whether it be in a positive way or a negative way, you're having an impact.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a little promo for me. And because people have asked me to write a book about all these skills and about how to live in community, how to step out of victimhood. So I have completed the book that I call The Divine We. It's about tribe living in community, and it has all these skills in it. And it is...
I'm sorry. I thought it was called the Bitches Toolbox.
No. This is the Divine Bitch Handbook.
Oh, okay.
The Divine Bitch Handbook was...
I thought this was part two.
Well, the Divine Bitch Handbook focuses on women. And I love the title because it does get people's attention. the Divine Bitch Handbook. So, I'm getting the 2 minute marker. And Benny Jean, thank you for sharing and expressing yourself so well, so that we all have the experience of you.
I love my experience of me too.
Yeah, I know. See, self-love. It's just the key to it all.
Well, and how can you love me if I don't love me?
Yeah, you cannot give to me what you haven't given to yourself. I know that. Yes. So, I celebrate you loving yourself and holding yourself sacred, because that's what you give to me all the time.
And thank you for everything you've taught me. And because I tell you right now, I would not be here if it were not for you and what you've taught me.
And let me put an addendum to that. Mm-hmm. You would not be there, sitting right here, sharing these stories, if you did not have the courage and the commitment to do what you did. I was only there to support your soul song. That was my job. No.
I'll promote Harriet King. That is a promotion in itself.
Yes, it is. Thank you. And if you need to reach out, you can reach me at my phone number. It's a very cute phone number, 505-501-3501. 501-3501. Benny Jean and I are so tickled to be able to share this topic with you, because just like David the engineer said at break, this affects everybody, the victim-victimizer matrix. And so we are hoping that we seeded something for you, that something here really inspires you, because we really wanted to inspire you. So blessings. And please carry on with your journey of evolution, which for me is the most exciting journey that there is. Namaste.
Namaste.